Welcome to this episode of the podcast IT42IT. This time, it's about Oracle Business Intelligence versus Microsoft Business Intelligence. Who will win and what are people using as alternatives? We have two people from the Oaktable Network talking about these things, discussing these things today. And the first person I'd like to introduce is Mrs. Kellyn Gorman. She used to be Kellyn Potwin, but she got married to my good friend Tim Gorman, so she's now Mrs. Gorman. She used to work in the Oracle field. She used to work for Oracle also, and she now works for Microsoft in the Asia department, moving Oracle customers to the Microsoft cloud, the Asia cloud. So, with those words, enjoy.
So, I went to Microsoft to learn analytics and AI. I had been offered the position to take over from a gentleman by the name of Patrick LeBlanc, who runs Guy in a Cube, which is an analytics channel. And it was an awesome opportunity. Looked forward to learning it. And about 4 months in, I started getting the phone calls. We hear you know Oracle. And from there, it went downhill. I had noticed that Oracle was kind of this roadblock for many of the folks that wanted to move everything to Azure. They needed those databases. They were very important to them. So I said, I can lift and shift these into Azure as is. Don't require those developers to, you know, learn T-SQL. Don't make these changes where everything underneath the covers has been completely overhauled. And so started doing it, and it was just a grassroots initiative. And now it is, a year later, a team.
Kellyn, what does Oracle think of you lifting and shifting Oracle into Asia?
For a while, they were not too happy about it. Then in May, the partnership between OCI, Oracle Cloud, and Azure was announced, and now they love me.
And license-wise, what happens when you move?
They still get licenses. And that has been my stress point. They were losing databases, as far as I was concerned, they were losing databases left and right to AWS and Azure and Google and everyone else. And I said, I love Oracle technology. I don't have a problem with Oracle technology. I want to use the right tool for the job. They, in fact, get a 2-for-1 benefit when I move you to Azure, to VM, or to AWS. There is a licensing penalty going to the cloud when you're going to any IaaS solution. So why not? Why would they not be happy about that?
Do they want to stay with the Oracle BI?
No. Straight on that one. Oracle is where OBIE was pretty awesome for its time. They have continued to stagnate, as far as I'm concerned, on the BI platform. Yeah, the Oracle Analytics Cloud, its whole goal is to move you to OCI, to Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. But because Oracle split their teams, instead of adding to their teams to build out the Oracle Cloud, you result in products that, unfortunately, especially in the cloud, that don't have the resources to build out quality. I love Oracle. I'm not crazy about the Oracle Cloud. The idea of outages is normal in the Oracle Cloud, which goes against everything that I think of the cloud.
Right.
The quality itself and the ability for self-service isn't there. The cost of the idea of data for everyone, data to the masses is not there. So it didn't work for me. I love taking Oracle sources, Oracle databases, and then hooking it to Power BI or hooking it to Tableau or hooking it to ClickView and getting people what they need faster.
And
there's my answer.
And there is your answer.
Joining us now live from Brighton, UK, is Mark Ridman. We apologize for the sound quality. We hope you can understand and appreciate all the nuggets from Mark. Mark has been in the business intelligence data warehouse field for many, many years. He's considered the leading authority on this topic, especially among Oracle friends. But after leaving his own company, Ridman & Mead, a couple of years ago, he went out on an adventure, discovered Google Cloud and many other things, Google BI and various alternatives to the usual suspects. And you should really listen to Mark's advice, read his blogs, listen to his podcasts. He is very, very good at sharing his knowledge and interviewing interesting people from around the world. So please welcome my good friend, Mark Ridman.
I think that if you're looking at something that maybe is maybe more multi-cloud, then there are other products out there, you know, like Looker, for example, and other ones. If you're looking for things that are, for example, more personal desktop tools, then there's Power BI, as I said, there's things like obviously Tableau and so on there. There's a whole generation of other analytics products that go beyond those ones. So things like ThoughtSpot and things like, there's a lot of tools out there that use AI, for example, to try and help with the analysis process. But I think it comes down to the what do you want to do. If you're doing straightforward transactional analysis, then I'd say Oracle Analytics Cloud is pretty good. It's when you're outside of that kind of core use case that it's worth looking at other things.
Thank you. Have you two...
Hey, Mons?
Yes.
I'd like to kind of go forward with that append on to that answer, because that's one of the things that I thought was extremely interesting about Power BI as I started to get into the analytics space, is that for me, I had never used really Excel much for anything. And the idea behind Power BI, and it's building on this as you see it going forward and you see the interaction with the desktop, is that they knew that Excel was the most widely used analytic tool in the world. And as a DBA, Excel was part of Office. And yet everybody was using MDX and Power Query, and they were starting to get into DAX. And I realized that Power BI was this stepping stone, that people would come into Excel and they'd get into Power BI and go, oh, this looks very similar to what I'm doing already in Excel. And they could use the same calculations and build out the measures and, you know, the Power Queries. And they said, I can do this too. And they could build out those full analytics. And I hated when somebody would they describe it as, oh, this is kind of like Microsoft Access and PowerPoint and Excel put together. And I kind of cringe because I'm a DBA. But it was true. It was absolutely true. And from there, they would take that next step and say, we built in R and we built in Python into this and we built in advanced analytics. And people would then be able to learn from there and build out their skills. And from there, then they would get in the machine learning studio. And again, the same ribbon across the top, same tools. And again, they would advance their skills and they would become these data scientists. That was the whole goal of it. So depending on where the person stood on their skills, there was a tool that would allow them to build out. And I was really impressed with that because, you know, as we start talking about what is true analytics, you know, when do we decide you're no longer just somebody who's building a few little graphs versus somebody who's actually working in notebooks. There are notebooks within Power BI. There are full notebooks once you get into the machine learning studio. This is pretty impressive that we're starting to have this concept of that people learn through doing. And I think that's a great concept of saying we know that many people are accidental technologists, that their jobs may evolve into another role and that we can provide those tools to do that. And I think Microsoft sees that, and I want to give them a lot of credit for that because that really astounded me.
Mark, a while ago you remarked to me something to the effect that you didn't see the same degree of demand for consulting skills because people could do their own BI things now.
That's kind of interesting. So when I left consulting the first time around, I was pretty much of the opinion that the market for consulting had gone away. And because cloud was coming along. But I was wrong, in fact. That's what I'm doing now, starting a new business in the area. And I think that it's a different sort of market. I think that the days when we could have 10 people in, building and just installing software is gone, obviously. People still need help in turning their goals into a strategy. They still need help in kind of integrating data. What I find is that there is a market. You need to think about how you can make it more, how you can automate it, and so on. That sort of thing. You need to think about actually delivering analytics as opposed to installing infrastructure. But I think, the fact that the onboarding and the install is no longer there doesn't mean to say there's no need for consulting help to actually get your strategy in place. And that's what I'm doing at the moment, really. So and the other thing about it is it's a market that, because it is all cloud now, you can serve it remotely. And so in that respect, it's kind of, very interesting. Your market's much bigger. So there is a market, but it's not about installing, it's about actually strategy and implementing now.
Okay, so it's moving.
Mark.
It's moving up the technology stack.
Well, we used to spend in a 10-week project. We spent 9 weeks trying to get through to work, and 1 week putting a graph on the page. Whereas now it's 10 weeks putting a graph on the page. So
Right. Kelly.
I have a question on that one. Mark, are you finding what I'm finding, that many times they will find one solution? So for me, many times an analysis services is behind a multidimensional model, those semantic models. And they may have used the solution to the point they crippled themselves. And to say, we need to move some of this workload back to the data source, or we need to move this into the analytics layer of helping them distinguish where to present the data best so that they get better performance, because performance is always an afterthought in analytics, of how to design an environment that is going to support the customer in the long run.
To an extent, although most of what I do is on things like Google Cloud and so on, scale isn't such an issue. There's a cost element to it. But I think sort of like along the lines of what you were saying, what there is a lot of demand about is about how do you scale the impact of analytics in the organization? So how do you adopt, software development practices for delivering analytics? How do you, every customer of ours wants to become what they call data-driven. But what does that mean in terms of the way you deliver analytics and the way that you organize the business and the way that you actually, the way you deliver, tested working kind of like, systems. Performance is less of an issue, although the funny thing is in this world I'm in now, nobody's ever heard of an explain plan or a materialized view or anything. So, you can earn quite a good living just reintroducing the idea of a summary table.
Yeah.
You should see the shocked faces in the room.
Yeah, but it's great. You sound like a man from the future when you talk about a materialized view. in my world.
Thank you.
There's now materialized views in our Azure data warehouse, which I will tell anybody who's hearing that term data warehouse, it is the most misnamed product in the world. It is about to become the Azure data pool, which is what it should be. It's an ELT product. And it has materialized views. And I have put these to use, I don't know how many different places now, and shown the glory of materialized views. It's long time coming on the Microsoft side.
What you find with that is like Snowflake has a concept of materialized view, but there's no concept of query rewrite.
Yeah. Yep.
Which kind of like fits it a little bit.
Talk about products like that. I think that's what we're seeing more and more. You know, we start talking about Redshift, and we start talking about Azure Data Lake, and we start talking about Snowflake. This is where many places are going. That is the goal. That is the right now where most relational databases are, to the lake.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you say to the lake. I mean, yeah, obviously Snowflake. You put stuff in S3, but I think the big thing that struck me about, I thought everything would be about data lakes and semi-structured data. But in fact, the first thing you do ever is you put a tabular structure over it.
Can you repeat that? You were a little garbled.
I know, it's really distorted. What I'm trying to say is that we, for quite a few years, I was assuming that the way we do things would be schema on read. You know, we'd load data to a data lake and we'd apply schema per query. But really, what I find is that all data is stored in tabular form these days. You can't do anything with it meaningful until it's in a tabular form. And so the idea of a data lake, which is all these different types of data stories, I'm not sure it's been so popular. I think the idea of storing it in a S3 style sort of storage system is one thing. But the first thing you do is put a table structure over it.
So I'm going to propose something that we've seen that's about, I think, is going to be very popular on the Microsoft side, which are the Microsoft Big Data Clusters, which, of course, has a Microsoft Master T-SQL database that you can just query. So it has that tabular structure, even though there's a data lake underneath it. The other one is the Polybase, which I think is a very underrated product within Microsoft, which allows me to create a federated system. So we have this data lake and we have relational databases, and you can still query it with external tables.
Yeah, I mean, that's been around for a long time. That's like Athena, isn't it? Or things like that.
Yeah, but it's underrated. Yeah. People are, they still want to query it in a relational way.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you know, Exisys can do that and all. But I mean, that's a very common sort of design pattern now.
As much as things change, people want it to remain the same.
You should see the shocked expressions in the room.
Would you like us to talk about something newer? Is that it, Mons?
I think I would like to allow the audience to ask some questions. Any questions, guys? Thank God you can't hear the snoring over there. No? Okay.
No, there. I mean, is the sign anything to
you? Yes, I think that in Nordea we have a huge push for Power BI. I think we have a huge push for Click. And I think we have a huge push that you BI tool from a user perspective is agnostic to where the data is stored.
Can you hear that, or should I repeat it? Mark and
I can hear that. What he's saying.
Yeah.
So that we are, that the users can choose the tool they like. Of course, you cannot just choose anything you want, but you can choose the tool you like. And the IT department is more a place where we provide data rather than also dictate what tools you should use to look at your data. And we also see that people in the office knows a lot about the data, actually. So they are actually the super users anyway.
We also have this idea about user develop as a game, meaning that the users will actually start writing code, they will do their own Python scripts, and then they will do something with them, and that's of course where we see a challenge in a lot of things, especially.
But are you having your data stored in Oracle databases or SQL Server databases, or don't you know? Because it doesn't matter. Or
we are Oracle here. Yeah.
You are Oracle.
We are here because we are Oracle, right? But I think that the trend is moving away from Oracle. But I think maybe not due just to the to BI, but I think the whole way that it takes so long time to get an Oracle database up and running, licensing, etc. And the other trends we are seeing with open source, Kafka, Java, where we are writing a lot of the code, new persons, new IT developers, they are, if they're only using the database for storage, then maybe Oracle is still a great, great tool, but do you really get all the benefit out of Oracle compared to SQL or Mongo or Hadoop? And I'm not
Postgres.
I'm not saying that I agree with all of this, but this is the trend that I'm seeing.
Mark, what's your perspective on this? Are you seeing a move away from Oracle too on the database side, with respect to BI data warehouse solutions?
I don't know. I mean, I don't come across many people moving from Oracle to the new things that I work with, like say Snowflake or whatever. I mean, I see a lot of, to respect to Kellen, I see a lot of people moving from say SQL Server to say Snowflake. I think that there are some people moving from Oracle to say the autonomous stuff. But I think Oracle is a bit like a closed ecosystem now, isn't it? Where if you're in that world, you know, you buy Oracle stuff, but you don't buy Oracle stuff if you're not in that world. But I do. But again, credit and respect to Oracle. They do a lot of things. I mean, I'd love one these days to work back on an Oracle data warehouse project and actually get to use a proper database. But the thing is, nobody wants to kind of deal with Oracle salespeople. They don't want to pay Oracle license fees, and they don't want to use Oracle Cloud. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's...
So, Mark, if...
Sorry, Kellen, go ahead.
Since I have a little bit of kind of feedback on his answer, you're not so much seeing customers move away from Oracle that are already on Oracle. What you're saying is new projects aren't going on Oracle.
No, I mean, the customers that I deal with would never, in a million years, consider Oracle. You know, and this is all the kind of all the disruptive startup businesses in London and all that. But if you're on Oracle, it's a great solution, really. But I think the problem is that Oracle Cloud has been, you know, unfortunately, the move to cloud has meant that people consider solutions other than Oracle then. And I think Oracle Cloud itself has been historically not competitive, and that's been a problem. But the Oracle database is a fantastic database, and I'd love to work with it again.
You should see the nodding in the room.
Mons, I definitely want to talk on that one too.
Go ahead.
You know, that's when I started here, when they found out I knew Oracle, the goal is the DB Migration Group wanted me to come on board and migrate databases off Oracle onto Azure DB. And I do have a few that are going to SQL Server, but mostly it's all about Azure. The thing that I found was that this meant you had Oracle DBAs that were roadblocks. You had developers who had to relearn. They had regular expressions and PL SQL functions that all had to be rewritten. These sometimes were years to get them off of Oracle. And I found that it was a much better choice to lift and shift them up. But personally, and my professional opinion, is that AWS has made a business out of this. Not just out of their cloud solution was a nice option for many people, but that they have been able to migrate people off of Oracle onto Postgres, onto their flavors of Postgres and MySQL. and the truth be known, it was on Oracle licensing. It was frustrations with being pushed to the Oracle cloud, and the cloud was not executed as clearly within the Oracle vision. And to me, I felt there was a better way to get people lifting and moving and going and not having to really identify that and keep some Oracle licenses in play. So I think there is a mass exodus. The deal is that Oracle is a huge whale in the pond. To even put a dent in it is very intriguing, is very impressive. But many of the DBAs that I mentored, developers I've mentored over the years, are now in Postgres. They no longer work in Oracle. There is a percentage we all know of those of us that started out in OakTable that are no longer really Oracle, and we need to admit that.
Yeah, I estimate 42% of OakTable members are no longer working with Oracle technology mainly.
And we've never seen that before.
True, true. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yep.
How does it work when you have my name is Søren Timmer, by the way. When you have an old data warehouse, you have all the data, but you want to use Power BI as a BI tool. Is it possible to have these two separated, or do you have to move all the data to Azure to make a benefit of Power BI?
Can you repeat that question, Mons?
I can. If you have a quote-unquote old Oracle database system and you want to use Power BI, is that possible?
Absolutely. Power BI is a service. You have something called the Power BI Gateway, the enterprise level gateway. It is an on-premise server that you will set up that serves as your gateway between that Oracle database that's on-premise and the Power BI service. You will then connect it to your desktop using that enterprise gateway, and you would put this on like an 8-core or 16-core machine and install it. It's totally free. All you have to provide is the machinery, and then it'll connect to the database, and it'll serve to first connect your desktop, and then once you publish that report, you will reconnect and set up the privileges and the roles and everything else for the proper data security.
Okay, so you move all the data to another from the Oracle database to another tool before you can use the queries. If you have
All it's doing is actually. I should clarify that. You have two choices with Power BI. You can import the data set into a data set in Power BI, and then the data would reside and be formatted in a way that is best presented into the layer for analytics. Or you can do direct query, which means the data never resides inside Power BI. It resides within that database and stays in the relational database.
Okay, but if you have a direct query and you have a filter. If you have a Kimball Decimal with some big effects with 100 million rows and big dimensions as well, and you want to filter, where does the filter happen? On the Power BI side or on the Oracle side? Where is the query running?
It depends. We love that answer, don't we?
It depends on what?
It has to, yep, and I do this. I do this often. I work in optimization on Power BI and all its what it's touching. I will pull the query on the Oracle side. It gets complex. When we start getting into millions and millions of rows and large data sets and data queries, I have to make decisions on the size of the analytics environment and if I need something buffered between it, like semantic models with analysis services or analysis server, or if I'm going to use Azure Data Factory and transform the data there, I will add an ELT or ETL layer between it. if it's just Power BI, because Power BI is getting more powerful every single day. I can't keep up with half the new releases. There's an analysis services that's running underneath Power BI. And as that gets larger and capable of doing more and more each release, I can bring in more and more into Power BI. And with that, there's now a performance analysis that can be done right from Power BI and see what's taking longest. And I can go in and back, kind of reverse engineer that query and see, do I need to query on the database side, fix that query, to change the where clauses, put in some hints, maybe a SQL profile, or maybe go back in and add an index or change the query itself that I'm writing on the Power BI side, because I write it through DAX, but I can make some changes so that it works better in Oracle.
So just for
Does that make sense?
Just for your information, Kellen, back in version 5 of Oracle, when they introduced distributed queries.
That's before my time. I'm young.
I'm trying to say that. They introduced distributed queries, and we had to make all sorts of tricks with creating views to make sure that the data, the data crunching took place on the right servers.
Exactly.
Does that mean
my job?
Does that,
a lot of times.
Does that mean that I can go back to
go
work?
Ahead.
Yeah. Can I go back and use those skills now again?
We all know as much as things change, they always remain the same. It's about shifting the workload and making it as efficient as possible. And the biggest challenge with cloud BI tools is the network. You're bringing the least amount across, that you are filtering correctly. It hasn't changed at all.
Thank you very much. There's another question.
Did that answer that question?
It certainly did. I love you. There's another question.
I'm a DBA. I'd like to come back, if I may, to the data lakes versus traditional table structures, the comment that you made. Do we think this might be to something? I mean, is there something on this that, you know, there will be a trend that some of this Hadoop and that some of the data lakes might actually be on the way out in some way?
So to qualify what I was saying, the idea of storing data in, I suppose, buckets and files and in a kind of semi-structured or a file format into object storage is here to stay. So, you know, each cloud has its own take on that. And Google Cloud is Google Cloud Storage, whatever. But really the idea, I think, of putting the onus on the end user to apply schema and structure to that data when they go query it, is unrealistic. And so really the first thing that ever happens with data, in my view, is it gets put into tabular format. And I think where it gets interesting also is that the real big data implementations that I see out there, the ones with petabytes of data, are actually loading it into things like Amazon Athena or Google BigQuery, which are basically object storage with a table structure over it. So, I mean, there are some use cases where a schema on read data lake makes sense, but certainly object storage makes sense. But applying schema on read, I think, is unrealistic because even most of us can't do data modeling properly, let alone putting that on trained users. You know, I mean, you think about dimensional modeling and all that, it's unrealistic to put that on trained users. But the idea of there being storage in a kind of an object, a cloud object, I mean, Hadoop is a bit of like an evolutionary dead end, really. And I think because you're trying to replace something on-premises that's complex with something on-premises that's even more complex. But putting stuff into, say, BigQuery in the cloud, that's where I think it's going. Or the equivalent thing in Azure as well. What do you think, Helen?
question there.
I think you're going to have to repeat the last half of that. I've got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, what I was saying, Helen, was that storage of large amounts of data in an object cloud makes sense, but the future is things like, is it called SQL Warehouse in your case, or BigQuery, is that the one that I use?
It's a brand new product, and I think they've done the right thing with this. As I said, the Azure Data Warehouse was misnamed. It was really an ELT tool. I call the SQL Warehouse, or the Azure Data Warehouse, the love child of Exadata and Azure.
Thank you for that picture.
It has, I'm sure you enjoyed that. It has massive parallel processing with offloading to secondary nodes for workloads. It has storage indexes. There's no other word for it. It indexes the memory. It has materialized views. It has high definition compression, as it calls it, instead of HCC. There are so many features to this that are very similar to Exadata, but it's not meant to store your data permanently. It's a data pool to do ELT, and then you would move it to a secondary database. So they finally figured this out at Microsoft, and they got together and created something called Azure Synapse Analytics. This is a product that instead of what I had automated, which was multiple scripts that deployed in 10 minutes, it's one product that now deploys through the portal. So in other words, that part of my job is I'm out of a job. But it creates from the portal a product that has a data lake, that has Hadoop connectors, that has the Azure data pool, which used to be DEW, the data warehouse. So it is able to transform it. It has Azure Data Factory, which is your true ETL product. The predecessor was SSIS, SQL Server Integration Services. So if that helps, that's what that product used to be. It's now Azure Data Factory. That's more of a combination that's almost like Informatica. You're able to, you know, drag and drop and build out things along with doing all of your coded pieces from SSIS. And then you build that all out, and it creates an Azure DB, and you have everything as one. And that's what we found every customer project needed. They didn't just need a database. They didn't just need an ELT. They didn't just need an ETL. They needed all of these things. And to be able to deploy it as one makes sense. And that's what this is now. And it provides them everything that they want, because everybody wants the buzzwords. Everybody wants the capability to move forward no matter what that product is and interact with it, not have to band-aid it or duct tape it to their existing system. So I don't know if that's kind of where you were going, Mark, but that's what I see.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's really bad line, so yeah. I have to go soon, unfortunately, but yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'd love to speak to you. Hopefully that was useful. And Kelly, nice to speak to you as well.
Good talking to you, Mark.
Cheers.